Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio, and tonight Jack is with me. My co-host, Jack Jodell, up there in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hello, everybody.
Our guest author, who's really pretty much a co-host around here, is the progressive professor, Ronald Feynman. Thanks for stopping by, Ron.
I'm very happy to be here, yes. Thanks for inviting me.
Always. Thanks for being with us. And before we discuss the current insanity, I wanted to play you what I thought was just about the best thing I heard all week. Y'all ready for this?
Here we go.
Yep.
Let me play this.
Come on. Get real. Be serious. We know exactly what happened here. 17 witnesses. It's uncontradicted. There's no rival story. No rival story at all. Enough of these phony process objections. Let's get back to the facts of what happened. The President of the United States shook down a foreign power to come and get involved in our election. That's wrong. I yield back.
Best words I heard all week.
That about says it all, too.
Who was that? I'm trying to figure out the voice. Do you know who it was?
That was Representative Jamie Raskin, and he hit the nail right on the head there.
I thought it was him. I wasn't sure, but he's from Maryland. Yeah. In fact, I think he is the congressman from my son's district, including Bethesda, Maryland. Yeah. And I thought it was him, but I wasn't certain. That's why I asked. Oh, wow. Yes, he's right.
Well, Trump just keeps on being Trump. You know, it's inescapable, and we're stuck with the bastard for at least another year or year and a half.
Well, a year and a month and, I guess, about 5 days left.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, you know, my mom used to remind me when I would talk about, well, one day I'll inherit that. And she'd say to me, you know, tomorrow is promised to no one, young lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to bring me back down to earth. But the thing is that, you know, it's just so insane out there, gentlemen, that I don't know what's next. And I wouldn't be surprised at anything that's next. But I will say this. I'm progressive. I'm very much for a progressive candidate. No centrist for me. And all of that jazz. But I will tell you this. I think that the majority of Democrats have been acting very well, especially the Speaker of the House. I think that she's done with all of this, that she's handling herself very well. I don't agree with everything she does, but that's horse racing. But as the Speaker of the House, I think she's doing a pretty damn good job. And
exemplary, really good.
It shows. It really does show.
No, I think she could have very easily been the person of the year, although I think Greta Thunberg is fine, but I think it could have been. She was one of the finalists, Nancy Pelosi, and I think, except for Greta Thunberg, I really think she probably deserved it.
And, you know, just like that petty thump, Trump.
Oh, my God, he has to pick
to
on
pick on a little a teenage girl. What an absolute jerk, just out of sheer petty jealousy. That guy is the biggest baby I've ever seen in my life. He's a spoiled, rotten little son of a bitch.
And I gather on Twitter, he took the Time cover and put his face on the Time magazine cover.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
How utterly pathetic. How petty can you get? How thin-skinned and petty can you get?
He also, I don't know how big you guys are on the Marvel movies, you know, with the superheroes and stuff. I love them myself. I'm a Disney fan. But he actually made himself into Thanos. The adversary, the bad guy who who destroys half of the universe to make everything whole again.
This guy has too much time on his hands, I'd say, and he's not doing his job. That's obvious.
Oh, he doesn't work at being president. He works
Hell no.
At making, he works at making deals where his family or he himself are going to, you know, get some
profit
income.
From it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
This is the most selfish group of people I think that this country's ever seen, this nation's
oh, God.
Ever seen in office. And as far as what he's been doing to our republic, it's just horrible. But what is worse? What is worse than Trump is that Moscow fucking McConnell.
Oh, and Lindsey Graham also.
Lindsey Graham's a pathetic guy, too.
And Lindsey Graham's right up there with him, yeah. These people are traitors. They're
they are,
traitors.
I agree.
As is Bob Barr, the Attorney General, who actually makes Jeff Sessions, as horrible as he was, look not as bad in comparison.
Yeah,
isn't that amazing?
Who would have ever thought? They just keep getting worse.
Yes.
And then the IG report comes out and says everything was correct. And of course it was. How many people from that damn administration are sitting in jail right now?
Yeah.
Come on.
Not everything was correct. Everything was perfect. That's the adjective, perfect. Can you believe that nonsense?
It's ridiculous. You know?
Absolutely. It defies
logic. Like a comedy routine, but except it's real. That's the problem.
It's not funny.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely not funny.
No, it is not.
and there are people who, if they hear a lie enough times, we know already because of the last time out, they're willing to believe it. But I'm going to tell you what, every time they say that, you know, he has the approval of the Republican Party. Well, I don't know if anybody's really taken a look at the size of the Republican Party in the last year or two. It has diminished incredibly.
Let's hope it vanishes altogether. It's a pathetic, horrible, horrible phenomenon, the worst we've ever faced politically in this country, ever.
Yeah, we really are at a terrible crisis. Who better to address that than a biographer of the past presidency?
Yeah. And,
I mean, Ron, can you think of a time when we've ever been at such horrible crossroads? I mean, this is a guy who's talking about toilet flushing and he's carrying the nuclear codes.
Yes, well, I think, you know, again, Richard Nixon has always been vilified, and he has many faults, but compared to this, he's a choir boy.
Yeah, well,
and he did accomplish some real good things in the case of Nixon.
Absolutely,
I don't think
he's
accomplished anything that's positive.
Well, unlike Trump, Nixon had a world perspective, and he had a sense of history, and Trump has neither. If Trump flunked history, he didn't bother studying. He was too important for that. He was too rich for that. He didn't have time for that. And it's painfully obvious today. And you look at the deals, that quote-unquote deals he's made around the world, they are absolutely, they're traitorous and pathetic and dangerous.
Oh, well, they're designed to give him kickbacks when he's out of office. And
let
me tell you something that's really friggin' bothering me about the white man spinning of the media right now. Not only are they marginalizing every woman running, including Klobuchar, they're pushing the centrist white Democrats at us. And the other thing that's going on here is they keep saying, but he really believes these conspiracies. That's horseshit. Trump doesn't believe a word of what he's saying. He's just mouthing. What
he's just an opportunist. He'll take advantage of any situation he can to profit himself.
He doesn't believe for a red hot moment that Obama tried to bug his office. He does not believe in any of these conspiracies. And furthermore, people say, well, you know, now we know by the IG report that there was a certain amount of collusion between the campaign and the Russians. Well, hell, the Russians have been paying Trump bills for over 20 years through real estate deals and casinos. They have been laundering dirty oligarch Russian money, and everybody in big business in this country on the East Coast knows it.
And Putin just whistles past the grave every time it happens. He doesn't care. He's got a hand in it, too.
Yeah, and by the way, Putin's also very happy about Boris Johnson, because I think it's now Great Britain will not be the same country. It will probably have Scotland break away and Northern Ireland, and it's going to become a weak country. And that's so he's sitting there smiling. The U.S. is in disarray. Great Britain's in disarray. France has had demonstrations in disarray. Italy has. And he's figuring after Merkel that Germany will not be the same. So he's really in triumphant situation now with the weakening of the whole Western alliance.
Yeah, Putin's licking his chops.
Yeah, but this is one of those moments in time when it looks like the whole crumble of it's all crumbling down, and yet this is the moment when something rises up to say, "Oh no, you don't, boys." Whether it's been war or it's been whatever has happened in history, when moments like these come around, this is the time when somebody really inspires something. Shakes the other side.
This is almost like a prelude to war, and I don't want to think of the type of war we'll have.
Well, none of the people, including that little jerk off in North Korea, would ever fire a nuclear weapon. I really don't believe that's where it's going. I think this is all political, out of the eternal sea. I think this is all political, and as Ron just said, and you said, Putin has realized his goals in disrupting Western democracies. But when you kick a big horse, when you kick a sleeping dog, what happens? What happens? And it's going to come from the ground up. You know, on Tuesday, what people are doing? I'm sick as a dog, and I have a hard time walking with sciatica these days. But I'll be marching.
Yeah.
People will be demonstrating all through this country again.
Good.
Nobody mentioned it on media, but last week France shut down. People shut down, went on strike for a full day in France. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard about that, yeah. They don't like Macron.
Well, because Macron doesn't know what he's doing. He's playing one end against another end over there and balling it all up. But what was really noticeable, and I guess we did cover this last week, was that, you know, now Trump's ego is really getting kicked around because he's watching these European leaders. It's one thing to no-sell in the back of your head sitting in an office. It's another thing to see it blasted on television and all around you when you're in a meeting, all of the world leaders laughing at what kind of a hyena you really are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, boy, does he hate that.
Well, he had a temper tantrum and left without a press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shook him up pretty bad.
Yeah. So, I would think his health is in bad shape. But we're not too lucky to have him, somehow, you know what. I don't want to say it. That something happens, it looks like we're stuck with him for the time being.
The thought has crossed my mind, believe you me.
Well,
yeah.
That's what they're saying. And here's the other thing that's bugging me, and I'm wondering if it's bugging either one of you. First of all, the general election's already been run. It's already been run. People, we know who's voting for Trump. What has not been run is the Democratic primary. And the crap that is getting slung around about, I mean, it wasn't only a damn shame, it was wrong that Kamala Harris made the choice to withdraw.
Yeah, that was
because of lack of money. Well, Bloomberg spent $100 million, I heard most recently, which is crazy.
Well, this is another billionaire SOB that wants to buy his way into owning the country. I don't care much for Tom Steyer either, simply because he is buying his way in. I think that Citizens United is a horrifying thing, and this is the result of it. I don't care for, in the last week and a half, everything that's been revealed and what's been going on. And especially the words out of his mouth. I don't care for Pete Buttigieg at all. I wouldn't vote for him if I had to race a horse.
Well, wait a minute now. You can't vote for him if he's the opponent of Trump?
You know what? My sister's going to have to shove me in the voting booth and put my hand on the lever. Let's put it that way. I think Pete is really quite good.
Do you think that, Jack?
What's that?
Do you think Pete is fairly, not saying perfect, you think he's a fairly good candidate?
I think we could do better, but, you know, we could do a hell of a lot worse, too. So I'm not just going to dismiss him just because I don't like him or his stances on stuff. Trump's are far, far, far worse. And
see,
if you doubt it, just...
This is what guys are saying. They're saying a woman can't beat Trump. And they're saying all kinds of propaganda. No, but this is what the media is saying. This is the way they're couching it. They're couching it that Warren couldn't fight him on a standing stage. I think she could slam him with one hand right behind her back.
Absolutely.
They're saying that Pete Buttigieg can't fight him simply because he's gay. Well, I'll tell you what, the gay community has disavowed him for all of his political hypocrisy on that line in the last 2 weeks. I mean, compromise with Chick-fil-A. And then being taken.
Yeah, well, that is disturbing, yes.
And then having your picture taken with the Salvation Army. Okay. We'll go into all of this. But, and there are other candidates. There's guys like Cory Booker that have a decent message that isn't such a bad guy, but does he inspire people? No. You know who's inspiring people right now? Three people are inspiring people. Pete Buttigieg is inspiring people. Bernie Sanders is inspiring people.
Yep.
And Elizabeth Warren is inspiring people. The rest of the people are either running scared, trying to figure it out, or have a centrist line that they will always toe because they're boomer old farts, in my opinion.
Or they're kind of past it. Like, I think Biden is past it. I think he's past it. I don't think he's up to it.
Well, I think when he reacted to that Iowa vote in his 80s, I thought he did
a good job on that, yeah.
But he's got to really do well in the next debate. Now there's only 7 in the next debate, if it's held. But it may not be held because there's a strike on the campuses in California about adjunct professors. And I know now as a retired person, even years ago when I first started, being an adjunct professor, they have no benefits in most colleges, universities, and it's just really terrible. And it is something where they're saying they will not cross the picket line. So there may not be a debate on Thursday in L.A.
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess, huh?
Yep. But honestly, you know, professors that are part-time are 2/3 of all professors, and they're not treated properly, and they're not given increases or given any health care or anything else. And that's really rough for somebody who wants to make a career and start and eventually become full-time. There's very few full-time jobs now.
And they don't hand out professorships at random, you know, just because they feel like it. Those have to be earned, and they have to be earned with hard study, years of hard study, and documentation and
yes, there are plenty of PhDs and ABDs, all but dissertations, you know, which is except for the dissertation, who are very qualified, but they can't get full time jobs. I've known some people in that situation.
Right.
That's an old academic story, and academics are the worst for adhering to, you know, whatever's good for them and nothing else. Tenure is their big thing. And you publish, you do what you have to do to get your tenure. Then if the board gives you tenure, there's nothing anybody can do about, you know, tenured professors. They're kings on campus, queens on campus.
Yep.
But you know, the academic community is full of a lot of, you say one thing, you get another, as far as teachers go and stuff. There's a lot of people out there that should have teaching positions in colleges around the country that aren't even given a second look because they disagree with what the tenured professor's philosophy or strategy.
It's just political nonsense.
Syllabus is. It's all political.
Fighting stupid.
I've seen it. It's ridiculous. But right now, people are looking up to Joe Biden for screaming at some 80-year-old who says, well, what are you doing allowing your son going to sit on a board for all that money, you know, which, you know, that's allowed. I mean, you know,
First of all, what the hell is the beef? I don't understand this uproar about it, because what the hell's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. A foreign company wanted to employ Biden's kid to try and get at Biden. They didn't succeed in doing so. So where the hell's the problem? I don't understand any problem whatsoever. It was a failed effort by Russian oligarchs, and good for Biden, and good for both Bidens. I have no beef whatsoever with that.
They're trying. What it's about is they're trying to prove that there was some kind of
collusion between Biden and the Russians. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, that it was a political quid pro quo that Biden would do for the Ukraine, which he actually did go in and do a lot of good in pulling out the corruption in Ukraine.
Right.
And the quid pro quo was that they give his son a job on this board. Well, it does look hanky, but.
It pales in comparison to what Trump's done. And Giuliani's out there shooting his mouth off too and trying to drum up trouble. That guy is absolutely, he's a traitor too, that guy. What a scheming, conniving bastard.
Yeah, are you aware of why Giuliani hates Joe Biden so much? I think I know why.
Why?
You know why? Because at one point when Giuliani was running for the Republican nomination for president in 2008, and he was ahead in the polls in 2007, and shows how you can't believe polls a year before the election, and he was number one, Joe Biden made the comment, when you think about Giuliani, what do you think about 9/11 and nothing else?
Yeah. And that's it. That's it. Yeah. He had his
And I think it really got angered Giuliani, so he's hated ever since.
Can I ask you guys, has he gone over and read the policies for the different candidates? I've done that. I mean, I know you might not have the time to, but I work all day on my own income, and I go over and I read at night, usually on my phone. I read all the policies of these different candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go look at Joe Biden's policies, he's almost cut and pasted from tail coding from the old White House policies, and but there's nothing really innovative or new there.
No,
he's Obama update. Yeah, I think he's Obama update.
All he is, and he really never says anything coherent or new or even detailed about policy questions that are asked. He has that. Stop liner, well, the fact of the matter is this. And then he goes into rhetoric from, 10 years ago. It's like this guy is not ready to lead this country at this moment. He's just a bad choice. He wants to allow the we lost Ron. He seems to want to he said that he would certainly allow fracking to go on, when we know the science is telling us that not only the pollution and the corruption of water tables is happening because of it, but earthquakes are happening all through Oklahoma and Missouri. Where is this guy coming from? He's as bad as Trump in this regard. He's not up to date. He doesn't know the science. And he's riding on his own or the coattails of Obama, which Obama has not given him leave to do, by the way.
Right, right. And that's important.
And that's his best run for the money. And it for him to whack, I would be upset if somebody, publicly called out my family, but I would respond like a lady because I think that would be the best choice, especially as a Democrat. But the first thing out of I noticed body language, I know posture, I know what the timbre of voice means, and the first thing he did was he went for the jugular, saying, you're a liar. And when somebody says something like that, that's like dusting up for a fight. It tells
it's inflammatory. You're right.
Yeah, what's inside of them at the moment. When I heard that and watched that, I said, ooh, boy, that's climbing up into Trump territory there.
Yeah, I agree. I agree more. I couldn't agree more. It's not a good sign. And, you know, it tells a lot of tales about the type of leadership we're producing nowadays. It's we can't rely on the old. We've got to have bold and innovative new things, and they're not that much in evidence across the board there.
Yeah,
I hear a little bit there.
Yeah, I want to mention I was disconnected for about a minute. I don't know what happened. I called back. Sorry about that.
I figured you would call back in, Ron. I'm sorry about that. Sometimes Blog Talk drops people, and they don't know to call back in. I hope you know any time that happens. It's not me. I didn't do it.
I was going to say, I have a PhD. I guess I'm intelligent enough to know to call back.
There we go, yeah.
That's what I got a PhD for, to know to do that.
Well, we're really talking about there are a lot of also-rans going on right now, and Joe Biden has failed to really produce anything new incredible new value that is needed right now. It's sorely needed right now, and that was about the gist of it.
I wanted to mention, though, if you look at those polls, you have to say, whatever you think, that Pete has surged a lot. And surging, but sort of like reviving a bit is Amy Klobuchar. She's doing a little bit better. She could be, quote, dark horse. You never know. Being from the Midwest, winning Minnesota, a state that often goes Republican, winning Michelle Bachmann's district, as she pointed out, the former conservative.
She won every district in the state.
She does have pluses, and you live in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
I think Amy is not someone to be ignored, although she's a moderate. I agree. She's
a moderate, but
I think
she
is a good possibility to be a dark horse candidate.
I would agree. And it wouldn't hurt to have one from Minnesota here, locally.
When I think of Minnesota, I think of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy,
Walter Mondale,
Paul Wellstone, people like that.
Yep.
And there was a great tradition, the DFL party, yes.
Right.
No. But you know what we really need right now, guys? And if Klobuchar was actually
Klobuchar, like char,
no.
like charred, like
oh,
charring meat. Charring Trump's meat.
Okay. Klobuchar was the actual candidate. Nobody would have to push me and pull the lever, simply for one reason too. But here's the other thing. Oh, God, Jack, you gave me a senior moment. I totally lost what I was going to say.
Mm. It happened.
While you're getting your senior moment ended, I wanted to mention that because Klobuchar seems to have a temper with her staff, the people have joked and called her Klobitch-R instead of Klobuchar.
I've heard that.
Which is not nice, because men can be that way. Act like a woman who's that way.
Now I remember what I was going to say. Well, it's already started the rounds about Bernie's people, which most of the ones who are doing all of the work in the upper echelons of his party are guys. And there's a lot of misogyny talk again, once again. No surprise there. Just call Bernie old fashioned that way. But what we really need is inspiration. And I think one of the reasons that Buttigieg is surging a bit is because he's inspired people with his intelligence and what is seemingly, it's not really seeming. I mean, he off the cuff, honest, and knows the facts and really comes to it. He does come to it. But it's going to
And he also knows seven languages, seven more than Trump.
Yeah.
what impresses me most is inspiration. And it doesn't inspire me, nor I think I – and where he's been searching is funny places that are very Trumpian is where he's actually searching. Did you know that?
Interesting,
like
isn't it?
Yeah, like Louisiana and Mississippi.
Well, he's also a new generation, young, exciting in that sense, you know. So, and honestly, I prefer his husband, you know, to be first husband to Melania being first lady.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
By the way, I looked into it. If his husband became first husband, he would be the third youngest first whatever partner, because Grover Cleveland's wife, Frances Cleveland, was still 21 when she married Grover Cleveland, when he was already president. And Jacqueline Kennedy was 31 in about, I think, something like 7 months or 6 months.
Yep.
And he's 1 month difference. He'd be about 31 and a half, but a little younger than Jacqueline Kennedy. So he would be the third youngest first partner, I guess you'd say. Just interesting statistic. Yeah.
It's an interesting observation.
Yeah.
Well, these polls are showing Biden with, you know, this huge advance. People, Biden is the one type of thing. He's the biggest in the polls. You know what? I think it's bullshit. I think it's as much crap as it was during the 18 election and the 16 election. The polls were completely off on those, and I think they're off on these again. It surprises me, because the marketing and the metrics that are supposed to be used, and I mean, they're asking 500 people, and you really think that 500 people from different parts of the country are going to give you a true lens on who's really moving people.
Yeah, we don't know the exact criteria on a lot of these polls. That's what's dangerous. And we're accepting them, which is also dangerous. So we need to make the polls justify their existence and do so with some solid data. And that would help a great deal. So let's hope and pray that we can get that achieved during this next election.
The government keeps numbers, okay? The government tracks things. They track, registration of voters. That can be done numerologically. 70% of all the new voter registrations are millennial on down in
age.
That's
a good thing.
Yeah, and I don't think they're really too inspired by a guy like Joe Biden. I think they really, really like Sanders and Warren. I think they really love their policies.
Yep.
And I think quite a few of them also think that Pete Buttigieg might be good too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also true. And somebody reminded me, was it you, Ron, that said, well, you got to remember there's a certain amount of them that are going to be conservative. Explain to me conservative from the point of view of this moment right now. Can you do that, Ron? No, really.
Well, there are conservatives who write columns who hate Trump, but the so-called Republican conservatives are a bunch of traitors and a bunch of people who just, you know, go along with everything he says. But he is not a conservative. He is not. And he's really – I'm talking about Trump, but he's not really a Republican, and he's destroying the party. But conservatives are not supposed to believe in having massive increase in the debt. They're not supposed to believe in having high protective tariffs. And yet they're now, you know, somehow accepting all this. And there's so many other ways. The only thing that I like about him, I think, is that he's appointing all these right-wing judges, many of them incompetent, and that is going to be a problem long-term.
And
the courts become much more right-wing below the Supreme Court level, I'm even talking. And then the country becomes, I think, over time, more to the left, and more as we have minorities becoming a majority, we're going to have a real crisis in about the next 30 years about a court that's way to the right while the country is not anywhere near that in the future. And it's going to be – I don't know how they're going to deal with it.
Here's something that's encouraging. Two of the people that the Republicans in general and Trump, one was a Trump appointee, and a couple of others have already gotten, you know, thrown off the bench. I think the last one who is up for a nomination just got jailed for child pornography and dealing in child sexual trafficking. I mean, these are the kind of people that roll with the Republican Party.
Well, the problem is, though, there have been others that have gotten through that is the ABA, American Bar Association, said it is not competent. And so there are going to be some people in the court who are very anti-gay, anti-women, anti-civil rights, and they will have effect on the district and circuit court
and
levels.
Nobody is above the law, and these people are going to be scrutinized heavily as things change.
But to impeach and remove, again, it's the same problem of two-thirds of the Senate. So
right.
That's the problem. He can be impeached, although only a small number have ever been. But to be removed is going to be very hard, and they're going to be there for 30, 40 years
mm-hmm.
if they're, like, in their 40s, and that scares me, you know.
Yeah, what I am trying to point to is the majority of them are corrupt sons of bees. They're going to get caught with their hand in the till sooner or later.
Well, but again, would that be enough to remove them when it's an impeachment where two-thirds would have to agree to remove? That's the thing. It's very hard to remove a judge, remove a president.
That's what we're about right now. Nobody is above the law. I've watched Broward County judges go down. I've seen a Broward County sheriff go down when I was a kid.
But that's county. That's not the U.S. government. There's a difference.
That's local politics.
But sitting in a Supreme Court seat?
Well, we've only had one Supreme
state,
Court justice ever brought
state.
To trial, Samuel Chase, in 1805, and he was found not guilty. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get rid of Kavanaugh. I really don't think we will, no matter what comes out. I don't think we'll ever get enough Republicans to join the Democrats. And no matter, even the Democrats control 53, 54 seats, let's say they're lucky, they still have to get like 14 or 15 Republicans to get 67. It's never going to happen.
It's not going to happen right now.
Unfortunately,
right.
I mean, I wish it would, but it's being realistic. Just like the idea of having the end of the Electoral College, it's not going to happen because you need a two-thirds vote of each house to have an amendment and then 38 state legislatures. We're stuck with it. It's a real headache because it's going to undermine.
In a sense, but I yearn so much for the days of the 60s when we had a 67 and 68 seat Democratic majority in the Senate.
Yes. If we had what we had if we had the 60s LBJ or the 30s FDR, we could do anything, but we're not going to have that.
Right, right.
We're not. We might gain a majority, but
you guys
152.
You guys keep talking about what can't be done, and that only depresses, you know, people who aren't ready to willing and able to go out and do something about it, like run for office.
Well, they should run for office. You're not going to get 60 cents.
We need an influx of new people.
Yeah.
Well,
new ideas.
You have to be inspiring. You can't say, well, you're never going to get there. You've got to be inspiring, you know? And, Ron, I know you know about that. You have to inspire people to learn all about what you're teaching.
But they asked if the Electoral College is going to be gone. I said, no, it's not going to be because it requires an amendment. An amendment is a hell of a problem to accomplish. So I have to be realistic as well as encouraging. I can't tell lies.
So it's impossible for an amendment to be done, huh?
Well,
no.
The House and Senate, and that's not going to happen because Republicans have won every time there's been the popular vote loser wins. It's been a Republican, except for the first time with John Quincy Adams, was National Republican. It wasn't called the Republicans. If they won four times out of five, why would they want to have an Electoral College thing where the popular vote winner wins the election automatically? So
right.
It will never happen, and we're never going to get two-thirds in each house being Democratic. That maybe get 60, but we're not going to get 67 or 290 in the House. It's not going to happen.
No.
It's unfortunate.
I
wish it was otherwise. But I don't believe in fairy tales.
I see, though, why people get upset with the older generation, too, because it's like, this is what you're never going to be able to do. And the thing is, they're wanting to know, hey, what can I do to change this? And so when someone like AOC comes along, or a Bernie Sanders or an Elizabeth Warren, and says we have to have large systemic change. We have to do what the Constitution says we should do and what we're allowed to do. When you have inspiring people, that gets people who are younger on your side.
Absolutely.
And that's what we need. We need youth. We need all these bastards sitting in the Republican seats. If you notice, Democrats are always younger, aren't they?
Yes, and more female, too. Yes,
that's true, too, yes. Mm-hmm. More female, definitely.
Reason.
No, I wish
it
was a magical answer, but I just say I can't make
a story up that
we're going to magically change it.
No, I get you. I get you, and I appreciate your wisdom on it. I'm just saying, though, that there are ways to do things, and you have to begin somewhere. You have to
begin. I wanted to mention about, you were saying about being older generation. I want to just point out, 2 days from now, I reach a new birthday. And it's a special kind of a birthday because it ends in a 5. Anything ends in a 5 or a 0 is special in my mind. And I don't believe it. I'm going to be 75 on Tuesday.
Incredible.
I do not feel that's
much more
possible.
Youthful and invigorated than that. Not that that's a horrible age, but I'm amazed.
I tell people I'm 45.
There's your wisdom. There comes the wisdom.
I'm not amazed at all. I've always seen you put out a very young energy. It's very good. You're enthusiastic and you're go get them.
I try to inspire, but I don't tell them lies that we're going to magically get rid of things that the U.S. Senate is bad. We shouldn't have Wyoming having 2 senators and California having 2 when one state has 500,000 and the other one has 40 million.
Well,
but
it's just the kind of
we're
the
not
great
get
equalizer,
rid of the U.S.
I guess. They
states
the
will dominate.
Equalizer. Yeah.
There's no way to do anything about that.
Yeah.
If they hold up with the House once, and look at the House. 400 bills, I think, they've passed or something like that, and the Senate's doing nothing. So nothing gets done.
Yeah, it's terrible.
There's no easy answer.
So, Ron, are you a Capricorn or are you on the cusp of
Sagittarius? December 7th. I was born on the day of the Battle of the Bulge in World War II when the Allies pushed back the Germans. And I tell students sometimes, and it doesn't always go across well, I mentioned when I was born and I said, the Battle of the Bulge, and they don't even know what I mean by that probably, but I said it occurred, and I said, the Germans lost, but my mother won because I was born. And a couple of them said, don't give up your day job, Dr. Feynman.
Well, I also want to wish Jack a very happy birthday, too.
Oh, I had it on the 27th of November, so it's a while back.
I know. I just.
And you're a young man compared to me, right?
Yeah, well, I'm 10 years behind you, my friend.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I remember being 65, and I would have thought 75 was so old, but I don't feel old.
nine years behind you, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, so you're social security ready.
My advice to all the young people who may be getting discouraged at us old farts talking, I would urge them to run for office and get their feet wet and let their voices be heard and not stay home in the background reticent and afraid to move. Get emboldened by our talk and do something.
Not just young people, any people, any and especially women.
New people
especially
and women, definitely.
Absolutely.
People of color.
I watched Ilion, Representative Ilion on Joy this morning.
She's great.
She was very soft spoken, but she was making some very, very, very good dead end points about how we can change the face of the country and how we must. But she also made a point that really resonates with a lot of people, especially some of us, I would think. And that is, you know, it was, and I actually liked the speech when I heard it. I never liked him, but I liked the speech, that famous line that Reagan gave about a shining city on a hill.
Yes.
Well, the lights have gone out. The lights have gone out. On that.
Yes.
I
was not a Reagan fan, but at least he was a nice, pleasant person.
Right.
The way he spoke. That I liked, you know?
Yeah, right.
Unlike Trump.
He also was very eager to inspire people. I always noticed that about him.
Very much so.
You know, if you ever listen to his son Ron's podcast or anything to do, you know, Ron Jr. is
quite
a
liberal.
Political.
I like him. He's a smart man.
Yeah, he's a political animal out there on the West Coast.
He sure is.
And like, he will tell you, you know, there were some really wonderful things about his father, and one of them was that he really truly was a dreamer and an idealist, but he
mm-hmm.
wanted to ground it with pragmatic pragmatic
right.
values. They saw him coming from a mile off, and he'll say that. He'll say
mm-hmm.
that the man was manipulated, but by the neocons. But
yeah.
the thing is that what she said today really struck home to me, because I've traveled out in the world, and I remember being in an audience at the Vatican, and there were a bunch of our naval officers and seamen sitting in the audience, and the Pope mentioned them and asked them to stand, and they did, and it was winter, so most of the people in the audience were Romans and Europeans, and they got a huge applause because they were the American Navy. That wouldn't happen today. They might get lettuce thrown at them, actually. We have that light that was that shining city. That's gone out. That's definitely gone out. And the other big empire, which was once the UK, that light has flickered down too. People did not want a Marxist. They did not want to vote
right.
for a Marxist as a laborer. Corbyn was too much.
That's the one thing I worry about with Sanders. He could end up being seen as a Marxist by many, and so that could harm him if he was the nominee, I think.
Right.
Well, Corbyn is definitely, that's what
he is. I'm surprised in Britain that the Labour Party would go that far to the left. They're going to have to learn from that mistake, and it was a mistake because Boris Johnson should not have won with that huge majority. That will not last.
He's a real wacko, too,
He's wacky. Yeah, he's as bad as Trump almost in many ways.
He looks all like Trump. A little.
He kind of does. Isn't that weird?
Oh, gosh. This is crazy. And Merkel's leaving, so Germany might not have as good a leader either.
There goes the leader of the free world. When she leaves the stage, that's it.
Yeah, she's a remarkable lady, really.
And meanwhile, South Korea's worried because of North Korea's changing views and how it could affect them, because I don't think our president would defend South Korea against North Korea.
No. He's too busy being enamored by the dictator in the North.
Yeah.
He loves too many dictators.
Yes.
He admires them. He admires strong men because he wants to be one himself, and he knows he's a weak little tit.
Look how he has run that office. You know, how many of the people he hired are sitting in jail right now, first of
exactly.
all?
Exactly, yeah.
And how big is the
been convicted
turnover
already,
there?
Yeah.
How big is the turnover?
Yeah.
Says,
yeah. By the way, I have to go now
in
a couple of minutes, unfortunately, so I'm going to have to say goodbye in the next 2 minutes. But thank you for letting me be part
it's
of the
always
show.
Always a pleasure to have you on, Ron. Thank you for coming, and please come back as often as you can.
As often as Gwen invites me. I'm not going to invite myself.
Certainly
I don't believe
invited,
in that.
No doubt. Thank you, Ron, for all your input.
All right. So,
all your insight. Thank you, my
anyway,
friend.
Anyway, it was a good show, though. So,
we'll
and
talk
so you'll
to you
finish
again
it
soon.
Without me, and you'll survive.
Take care, my friend.
You.
All the best.
Don't laugh.
You
have to laugh every day. The only way to survive this world,
That's right. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Ron. Thank you.
So stay in touch. I'm going to say goodbye.
Okay. See you later, my friend. Keep up
the
good
work. Okay.
Bye-bye. Yep. Bye-bye. It's always a pleasure to have Ron Johnson on. Ron Feynman on. He's a very smart man.
Ron is a good guy. He has a good heart.
Yes, he has a good heart. Yep.
He's very active on Facebook, which is fun sometimes. He gives me a lot of crap sometimes, but now the club is open. And we have another caller, and it's basically it's that time of the evening. 918 area code. You coming in loud and clear?
Must be David. Hi, David.
Yes. Is this the why do we keep reelecting these strange-haired politicians support group?
I mean, Trump's hair was bad enough, but I mean that. What is it called? Toe-haired? What is Boris got going on there?
Good Lord.
He ain't no ginger.
Yeah. Good to hear from you, David.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, man. You bet. Yeah, I'm back to normal here, getting there. So,
yeah,
at any rate.
Man, Boris Johnson just seems this one step away from Benny Hill, doesn't he?
He kind of does. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I always expect that song, that dun 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 dun, come on whenever he gets on stage.
Make me cough.
Yeah.
Well, what they say, mad dogs and Englishmen, you know.
Yeah, there we go.
That's exactly what they say.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, wasabi, sorry.
Wasabi? Oh, someone
found
some sushi.
I it's my dinner. I'm waiting for it, but I put my finger on the wasabi and uh-oh.
You know, I had a meal for lunch, and there was this bottle of sauce that's been up in the cabinet for a long, long time, probably because of the name. It was called Colon Cleanser, and it's supposed to be super hot. And I have a feeling that there's some truth to the advertising there. Because this is starting to...
probably.
Good Lord.
Yeah, yeah. It's starting to be a priority.
Well, it's that time of year now. My Lord, that it gets to be wintertime. All kinds of things happen, so.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You know, David, but, I'm wondering, how long do you think it's going to take Scotland to get to break away from the UK now?
I don't think it's – actually, that's a very good point. I don't think it's going to take very long.
Yeah, I don't
think
so either.
That's the final straw.
Well, we're talking about fiscal – we're talking about GDP and fiscal survival. And the only thing I can think is that those who are generally Labour, you know, are not Tories, the Marxists in Corbyn was way too much for him. It was like, no, won't go there.
Yeah.
So I think they sat the vote out is basically what happened to them.
You know, one of the things you got to worry about is Ireland, Northern Ireland. I mean, they've had this peace going on for a long time, and you know, they still haven't settled out just exactly how to handle that.
Yeah, we don't want to see that erupting in a war again. It could very well. Instability.
Well,
yeah, very well.
That.
Yeah.
It wouldn't really be so much. I don't think. I think that probably Northern Ireland, Black and Tans up there probably are very much in favor of the UK staying with the EU.
I think so.
But,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's an interesting thing to note that Sinn Féin just took a majority of the seats in Parliament there. So you've got the Southern Irish Nyack Cousins down there. The southern Southern Ireland is basically the political bad boy on the block now, and or more powerful, if you will, whatever. But you know, in Northern Ireland, there is a lot of uptick in gang related violence. You know what they're doing. The Italians and the French got really upset and started deporting and scattering the Roma that had been kicked out of the eastern countries by the Russians. And so they are playing Ku Klux Klan over there to the Roma, and they're beating and murdering gypsies right and left, or wanderers, as they call them over there, the wanderers. And that's a pretty horrible thing, and it's not mentioned much unless you get, you know, I read newspapers from Ireland, from Northern Southern Ireland. And but Southern Ireland itself they're doing very prosperous and very good down there. And for the UK to split off to from the EU is financially disastrous, and I'm sure Scotland is thinking the same thing. I lost all my guys. Where'd my guys go? Hello? David?
I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. I lost David.
What happened
too.
Here? We dropped off. We lost David, huh? Boy, we're just dropping people left, right, and center today.
David's mic's open and his line's there, but perhaps he's saying something and we're not. Welcome to wonderful Blog Talk Radio, where the technology is tin cans and a string. So, David, if you can hear me, I apologize. Yeah, he just dropped. I really do think that Ireland and Scotland are very, very fearful as a country, and their governments, their independent governments, are very fearful of the fiscal disaster it would bring to leave the UK.
That's a good
David?
Point.
Yeah, it just dropped me right in mid-sentence. Must be
it's the beautiful.
Maybe the spooks didn't like what I was saying or something. But anyway, the Irish travelers,
They've been they hooked up with the Roma that got fled into Ireland somehow. They all fled over to Ireland thinking it would be okay. And you've got little boy gangs, like we call them Trump boys down here, who have, like white supremacists over here, have been hanging them and beating them to death and burning them out. And it's been a horrible situation.
Petty politics rises all over the world. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's pretty awful.
Who would have thought the rise of nationalism and it goes further from there, but that, in 2020, we'll be starting the year battling that stuff.
Well, it's like I was saying earlier in the show, though, when these moments come along, when they historically, I mean, I'm talking over 7,000 years of history, when these moments come along, somebody rises, and it's usually bloody, but a change happens. A change happens.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to open up our eyes worldwide. We've got to start pushing forward. We can't look to the past for any answers. They're not there. The past is gone. It's done. It's dead. We got to push forward. We can't keep looking backward. That's the epitome of it all right now.
And another thing I think we need to add is that the answers and the heroes may not be coming from the United States. We got to look worldwide.
That's right. That's right.
I agree.
And yeah,
I agree.
There's a lot of things. Yeah. So
and look
anyway,
at
I just
the youth will lead this world. Look at Greta Thunberg. She's a wonderful inspiration to everybody except that jealous Trump. Well, we don't care about him. He's past history.
Oh my gosh, they trip so she trips so many triggers of these super sensitive bullies. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean.
It's
oh, my gosh.
It's not just Trump.
Go, Greta. Go for it.
She's a real Valkyrie. Guys, our time is up. David, thanks for calling in, buddy.
Yeah, nice to hear from you again, David.
Well, good to hear from you guys.
Yep, take care.
Sorry I didn't call in earlier, but I was in the middle of something.
Well,
hint, colon cleanser.
We'll do it again, my friend. We'll do it again.
Are we talking about colon cleanser or calling in?
Well, all of those things.
Okay. Yeah. I'm game.
So long as you get rid of the old and in with the new is what I say, you know.
Don't say that.
All right. All the best. You have a great week, and keep pushing forward, everybody. That's all we can do.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Glenn.
This has been the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio, and we will be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. Be safe out there. And it is the season of kindness. You can be angry about politics, but be kind to one another.
Be jolly. Be jolly. See you again next Sunday. It's a date. See you then. Take care. Look forward to it. Have a great week.
Good night, Jack.
Yep, good night. Bye-bye.